calling all you horror enthusiasts. If you are brave enough, we dare you to listen to our horror podcast, You Can't Kill the Boogeyman Podcast, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by Limitless Broadcasting Network. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Don't forget to subscribe to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Doug Jones, but you are listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show!
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
Hello!
And we're produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Check out our social media after the show, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook.
See, and also check out LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com for all your other podcasting needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I should have sang your name. It felt weird not singing your name. I was like,
do it again.
There you go. No, it's fine.
Now you got it out. So
why didn't you sing my? Why didn't you do that?
I don't know. I tried doing something different and it felt wrong.
Oh God,
I broke Dan.
Oh boy, this is not a way to start off the episode.
You'll have to fix him when you go to the party.
He'll be all right. A power
so you're going 2 hours across the state for the party.
Well, it's like an hour and a half for us to drive there, ish.
Where is it? Is it Tampa or St. Pete?
It's St. Pete.
St. Pete.
Isn't that further?
Like, how much further is St. Pete?
Over in Dowling.
St. Pete is about, well, if traffic is good, it's about maybe 30 to 45 minutes from Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so maybe closer to like 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's probably going to be like 2 hour drive. A little over.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm really sorry for my lighting. The sun went away, and all I have is a yellow bulb lamp.
So now you're just going to be yellow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because my other one's not working, and I don't know why.
Oh.
Like, my actual studio light is not working.
Yeah. Yep, I see that.
It's very annoying. Anyhow. We are on our last week of Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's also exciting because we're getting to our summer that we've been super excited about.
And I've been waiting for that one.
We are doing, if you do not know, if we have not announced it, because we haven't talked about it at all during this, like, couple months.
Yeah.
We are doing a Joss Whedon summer.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. All the things. All the
Joss. All the things. Buffy, Angel, Dollhouse, Firefly. I feel like I'm missing something.
Dr. Horrible.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. We're doing it all.
Yeah.
I'm super excited.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Buffy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some Firefly. Do you know there are Firefly novels?
Oh, yeah.
That are stories not of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We have them at my bookstore. I'm like, I need to buy these.
Yeah. I got three of them. I've read them all. They're pretty good.
I need to get them. There's like five or six of them right now.
I figured there's probably more, but yeah. No, I don't remember a whole lot. I remember there's one where it's like a exclusive Jane story where we actually go to Jane's like home planet. It's pretty good. Yeah, no, they're good.
Wow.
There's another one where we kind of like Mal kind of has some like flashbacks and stuff and kind of talks about his past. And yeah.
I need to read them.
Yeah. It definitely scratches the itch.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be good to read during the summer while I'm after I watch it when I need to because every time I watch Firefly, it's like it's not enough. It's like crap. Now I'm just ugh.
Yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You read the graphic novels too, right?
No.
There's I know, well, there's several, but the two main ones, I know there's one called Those Left Behind, which bridges the gap between the show and the movie, and then Leaves on the Wind, which tells what's happened after the movie.
How can it bridge the gap between the show and the movie? Because the show is literally starting all over and grabbing River from the beginning.
It's a flashback. The beginning of the movie is like a, it's told, it's, they're watching it on a security footage of like something that happened a long time ago. That's how they introduce the new, that's how they attempted to introduce a new audience to the story. Oh. But like, no, yeah.
I need to rewatch that movie. I don't remember the beginning very much.
Yeah. No, the movie's more or less a sort of a flashback, but yeah, no, the movie takes place about 8-ish months after the TV show technically ends. Ends, well, yeah.
I never really clicked.
I thought about
in
this
my
extensively.
Head. We're gonna have a very deep discussion about this.
We're gonna break it down. I pretty much lived in this world when it came out, so that was my maladaptive daydreaming. Yeah. Was just
no, you're good. Like I'm glad you've lived in this world because I want to have this discussion because I don't know these things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get there. We're starting that next week, but we have to finish Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen first with their final movie. We missed some things. We didn't do Switching Goals or Holiday in the Sun or Challenge or any of those. Sorry if you liked those, but they just weren't on our radar. We are doing New York Minute. The summary is one day in New York City, Jane Ryan tries out for a overseas college program. Her twin sister Roxy schemes to meet her favorite punk rockers and a series of mishaps throws their day into chaos. The usually adversarial, sister decided to unite against the forces around them so both can accomplish their goals. Can I just say it was very jarring having them not like each other? Every single movie that I have seen of them, they are always best friends. Yeah. It's very jarring for me to see them not best friends at the beginning.
I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
It definitely added a new dynamic to it.
It did. It very much did. But it was just very jarring because everything from the very beginning to now, they've always been the best of friends when they start their movies. So, I was like, ugh, this is wrong. This doesn't feel very Mary-Kate and Ashley. But that's me because I lived in this world.
Yeah.
This was released in 2004, directed by Denny Gordon, writers Emily Fox, Adam Cooper, and Bill College. It actually had a tagline because it was a theatrical release. Anything can change in a New York minute. There's a lot of minutes in this movie.
Yeah.
Ashley played Jane, Mary-Kate played Roxy, Jared, I can never say his last name.
Padalecki.
Thank you. Jared Padalecki was in this as Trey Lipton.
Yeah.
I did not know, so when he, popped up on my screen, I'm like,
I saw his name at the beginning. I saw his name, and I was like, ooh, Jared's in this, okay. Yeah.
I'm like, Dean, what are you doing here? Sam, what are you doing here? But yes, he was there. And then this one also made me happy. Riley Smith as James or Jim, the bike messenger. As soon as he popped up on the screen, I'm like, my motocross crush.
Yep. I was just Disney Channel star.
Love with him when I was younger. Eugene Levy, who I love, Maximilian or Max Lomax. Andy Richter plays Benny. Drew Pinsky is Dr. Ryan, their dad. Daryl Hammond plays Hudson. Andrea Martin plays Senator Ann Lipton. Alana Ong plays Ma Bang, which I believe is Ma Bang is the bling woman, right?
No, hairdresser.
Ma Bang. Or is that? That's the bad guy. I don't think I put the bling people in here. I'm sorry, guys. Mary Bond Davis is Big Cheryl. Oh, no, that's her.
That's her.
Big
Cheryl. Yeah, that's her.
Big Cheryl.
Okay.
Did you see Bob Saget when you watched it?
Yep.
He was there.
I mean, they focused on him for a hot minute, so.
They did.
Completely missed Bob Saget. Which part was he in?
They were, when they were running in the towels. they, like, he sees them and, like, looks at them like he
and
knows them.
And the camera
them,
stops.
And the like, camera, like, stops on Bex.
Okay, I must have been looking
on
away
Bob's
at that time.
Face. Oh, man. Yeah. And then, of course, Jack Osborne made an appearance at the end as
there
Justin.
There he is.
Well, he's at the beginning, too. He made two appearances. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't watch this very well.
Yeah, he's at the beginning and the end.
Is
yeah,
he at the beginning? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was listening to it while I showered this morning and, like, was taking it around with me as I was doing things. So I didn't see all of it. I just heard it. Ratings on this one, not so great. A 2 out of 5 on Common Sense, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 5 on IMDb.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. The Rotten Tomatoes one is the worst.
The internet
is the, like,
has spoken.
Oh, that one hurts.
Okay.
This is the last film to feature Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen together, which we knew, like, we just... as soon as this movie started, I'm like, after the first, like, 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, yep, I see why this did not go well. Mm-hmm. I have critiques on it, and I normally don't critique their stuff.
Okay.
But
I'm curious to see your critiques, because, like, I was watching it just sort of as an outside perspective, and I was like, yeah, it's cute. Kind of boring, but cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've said the same thing about pretty much everything else I've watched from them. So.
I'll tell you what was going through my mind this morning as I was watching it, that okay. my critiques. Mary-Kate, who played Roxy, had to learn how to drive stick shift for this movie with her vehicle. She never learned how, which I never learned how, I'm going to be honest.
I never learned how either.
Nope.
And in the beginning of the movie, there are several photographs on the wall of Jane and Roxy Ryan as young kids with their mom, who passed away. These are actual photos of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, but with their own mother, Jeanette Olsen, who was cut out and replaced with who the mom was. Which I don't know why they did that, because it's not like the mom was even,
like,
in the movie.
He literally got paid to just be in the photo.
Yeah.
I guess. Mm.
This film's $5.96 million opening weekend in North America, and final gross for the weekend was 14.1. So there's two numbers. The final gross that I saw, this says final gross was 14.1. That might have been North America. And was the lowest ever at the time for a film released in over 3,000 theaters. But then I also saw that the budget was $30 million, and they did box office total 21.3. So I don't know if box office total includes other countries, or if... Mm. I don't know. I have no idea which one. But either way, they did not make their budget at all.
No.
Nowhere near it. Yeah. And this is the Olsen twins' second theatrical release, the first one being It Takes Two. And It Takes Two was 1,000 times better.
It was.
When it came to, especially the numbers.
Well, yeah.
Mary-Kate and Ashley's characters attend Sayodit High School, which I don't know why that was important, but apparently that's a big thing. Anybody know about this high school?
No.
No.
I should have probably looked it up to see if it was, like, in something that was important. Let's see. No, it's not even a thing. So
well,
I don't
you
know.
Really
I don't
even
know.
See somebody the was, high school. So I don't
somebody
know
apparently
it
was pulling out just whatever they could for trivia. The microchip was a secure digital memory card, so it wasn't actually a microchip.
It looked like a memory card.
A memory card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I read that, that reminded me, like, remember how the other week, Sammy, you were talking about, like, medical terms? If they say the wrong medical term, you're, like, angry?
Mm-hmm.
So it happened to me watching Smallville this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Smallville, somebody went into a coma and, like, was dying, like, they're something, somehow they were dying, and they blamed it on their what do we use to lose weight? Metabolism. Is that the metabolism has caused them to go into a coma?
Sure. Yeah. Definitely seems like a logical thing. Nothing to do with your brain, but okay. Sure.
Kryptonite. It's kryptonite. Kryptonite makes weird stuff happen.
It's wrong. We're Sammy.
I'm sure it was related to kryptonite because, you know, that's just. If
no,
something's
it had
nothing
to do with Clark.
But I mean, like, that was the whole premise of Smallville. It's like this, right? Because, like, it wasn't just Clark. It was, like, it was causing all the weird stuff to happen in Smallville, right? It was, like,
yeah, but this
everybody.
One had nothing to do with kryptonite. This episode had nothing to do with the kryptonite. But, yeah. Gotcha. No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, it's.
Wow.
This, Smallville has been interesting to watch. It's very different. Very different when I come to think about, like I actually like Superman now.
Smallville went through it went through a lot of strange phases when it came to its writing. Like, it was good, then it dipped, then it got better, then it dipped. Had a very interesting journey.
Right now, I'm liking it still. I haven't seen any dips for me
yet. What season are you in?
I'm in season 2.
Honestly, one of my favorite seasons. I remember the season 2 being one of the best ones.
Yeah. He just, oh gosh, what just happened? Him and Lana were supposed to go on their first date, and then Pete and Chloe got bit by the parasite, and he put the red rock, and Lana caught him and Chloe making out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good old red kryptonite. Good times. Ugh,
makes me so mad. I'm like, why can't they just date? I know you can't end up together, but why can't you just date? It's driving me nuts. I need the happily ever after for at least a couple episodes.
I do love Red Kryptonite Clark. He's a lot of fun.
He's something.
He's like Angelus.
Yes, gotcha. It is. It's very much like the soul or soulless. Like, yes.
Yeah. My gemstone for high school graduation was a ruby or something. So when I got my class ring, I would put it on and pretend like it was, you know.
Your red kryptonite.
Oh, yeah.
Mine's green. I'm emerald.
Nice.
I didn't die, though, so that's good.
Well, good for you.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Anyways, going back to this. When the twins are at the House of Bling and Jane starts to freak out, Roxy starts singing Itsy Bitsy Spider, which was the song sung by Michelle Tanner in Full House in some episodes of the series.
Okay.
Yep. I don't remember this part, but again, I didn't really see the beginning. Roxy has a pet snake named Ringo. Ringo is named after Ringo Starr, the former drummer of the Beatles, because she is a drummer in this movie.
Yeah.
John Hemphill, who played Benny, and Eugene Levy, who played Lomax, went on to act together in, how do you say it?
Schitt's Creek.
It is Schitt's Creek? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure that's right and I wasn't saying something wrong. I wanted to watch that. Where anybody seen Schitt's Creek? I see a lot of, like, reels of it, and it's like, I kind of want to watch it.
Heard of it. I've never seen it.
I don't know if it's on, it might be on Hulu now. When I watched it, was on Netflix, but it might be on Hulu, possibly.
I'll have to look.
Disney Plus, whatever. Yeah.
Well, because what's his face? The one who plays the son of Eugene Levy.
Dan?
Yes, he cracks me up every time I see reels of him. I'm like, I need to watch this.
I love Dan Levy. He is great.
Oh, yeah, it's his actual son. I forgot.
Yeah.
That's his real life son. His actual son plays his son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Anyways. Bob Saget was a cameo. As the Olsen twins, like I said, were going running past him in the streets of New York, he turns around and stares at them as if he knows who they are but cannot remember their names. And, of course, it's because he was in Full House with them.
Yep.
I didn't know this. Bob also appeared in their first movie, To Grandmother's House We Go.
Oh.
Yeah. He did
didn't
a cameo
watch that.
There, too. So, I didn't either.
Yeah. Probably didn't know.
But, yeah, that's the trivia of New York Minute.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Dan can go first since he actually watched this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it for what it was. Like, there's certain things that I saw in it that kind of reminded me of just shticks and sort of, I don't know, like gimmicks that were really big during, this movie came out, what, 2003, 2004, around there?
2004.
So, yeah, and I remember, like, at that time, pop punk was really big. So if you were a teenager during that time and you kind of played the guitar, that was, like, the thing to do was be in a punk band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so seeing that kind of, like, sparked that little, you know, well, my elder millennial nostalgia heart.
Were you in a punk band?
I was in a church band that tried to be punk, if that counts.
There you go. That's adjacent,
I wore an Atticus shirt and spiked my hair. You know, I wore stuff like this. I wore stuff like that.
That you still
wear. You've always worn stuff like that since I've known you.
True. So, you know, some of it stuck. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, no, I, yeah, I definitely caught some of that. And, you know, it reminded me of just a brighter time in the world when things mm-hmm. seemed hopeful and exciting. And, you know, yeah. we were all young and whatnot. I mostly yeah. watched it because you mentioned Jack Osborne.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was like, yeah, I got it. All right. So, mm-hmm. yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, it was, I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a hijinks movie that had, you know, the Olsen twins, but older and a bit more mature than, you know, hey, we're mm-hmm. in middle school and going to Paris. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was cute. It was very cute. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the scene at the end when she was covering for her sister when she was giving like the speech or whatever.
The speech?
And she starts quoting Avril Lavigne.
I was like, well, that, I'm so happy.
I was like, well, that definitely dates it.
Yeah. The fan yeah. professor. Oh my gosh. Yeah. From Canada. The Canadian yeah. professor.
Yeah. I mean, she's not wrong. She's not wrong.
That was great. I loved that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's kind of funny because in the last year, Avril went on tour with Simple Plan, so.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that some of those bands are kind of, they're still doing their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was always an Avril, I was definitely an Avril fan from back then, so I still appreciate her.
Still am. Yeah.
And all my other punk emo friends were like, no, oh, she's a poser, she's not real. I'm like, okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a whole conspiracy theory that she is not actually Avril and Avril died, mm-hmm. and someone took her place.
Right, so her real name's like Michelle or something.
Yeah, I think so. Michelle or something.
Like, no, like, she just evolved. Get over it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she did definitely evolve. I mean, if you look at her singing style from, like, those early years versus later, like, she definitely did some work on herself. Oh, very different.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By her third album, you already started to see some change.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which makes sense.
Because that was the Girlfriend album.
Mm-hmm.
That one I was a little torn about. I still loved it, but I was torn.
It was catchy, but I definitely, yeah, I remember, I think we were in college when that one came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, we were. Because yeah. the first and second albums came out, I want to say, like, freshman year and junior year for me.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's when it was. Because I didn't Sounds have Avril right. until high school.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. At least I don't think I did. I'll have to look that up.
Avril. I don't remember when I first bought her album.
Yeah.
Avril Lavigne. Discography. Oh, end of middle school. Let Go was 2002. Mm, and okay. then Under My Skin, which was her second one, was 2004.
Okay.
So, when were we going into freshman year?
2002.
Was it 2002? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so freshman, end of eighth grade, beginning of freshman year, and then mm-hmm. end of sophomore going into junior.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then, yeah, then she had the Best Damn Thing, which had the Girlfriend song in 2007, which I was a little iffy about.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did Goodbye Lullaby, which brought me back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate her punk rock era, or pop punk era, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
pop punk, I guess, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The skater
it wasn't
era.
Pop in Let Go and Under My Skin were not poppy songs. She didn't become poppy until The Best Damn Thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least not in my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all subjective. Like, I've called Avril Lavigne punk before, and I've gotten just reamed out by punk purists, so
yeah, you gotta watch it with those people.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Forgive
but not even
the
punk
musical.
Purists are pure anymore. Like, if you
nothing
look,
is
like
pure.
Some of the,
nothing is pure.
I know. It's like some of the bands that they called punk pure aren't even, like, they went popish.
Yeah. Again, it's all perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you gotta change. You can't stay in one spot. Or it's just gonna sound the same over and over again, and people are gonna get bored.
Very true.
Tell that to Paramore. They upset a lot of people. Including you.
They did upset me. That song changed because mm-hmm. it was, I think for me, it was too jarring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they went from pop punk to techno, I don't know,
whatever.
I couldn't do it. It was not for me.
Yeah.
it was not for me at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Not my thing.
I feel weird about those types of conversations because, like, as an artist, I understand the need to constantly do new things. And I understand hating yourself for getting locked into a version of yourself that's not really you anymore. That's worked for worked for a while, but eventually I understand getting bored with yourself. So, you know, I understand why you're doing things. At the same time, like, you are successful because of the version of yourself that you're bored with, and that's what is propping you up. So it's like, on one hand, you want to give people what they want, and you don't want to lose yourself. So it's like, I don't know. I see both sides of that. I don't know how to, like, really approach that.
Well, and I'm not the person... I'm not the type of person who says they need to go back to what they did. Like, if...
It's their choice.
It's just, you're not going to see me listening to their new stuff. I'm happy for their change, and you know what? Go for it, and I know there's going to be an audience for it, but I'm just not a part of that audience. I will still be listening to your old stuff. I'm not going to ex-nay you from my life. I just, it's not my type of
music.
I
take familial power, and I cast you out.
There are really a few, like, artist celebrities that I have, like, said, nope, I am boycotting all of your crap. One of them is stupid Rachel.
Who?
Rachel Ziegler. Rachel Ziegler. I am boycotting all of her crap.
Does she do music? Or just
I
music?
I don't know what she does, but I'm just boycotting her.
Okay, so you're just saying.
She does sing, though, because she sang in the Hunger Games movie that...
Oh. Well, she probably sang in Snow White.
Snow White.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's a musical, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, we got off topic again. It's fine.
Per usual.
We were off topic.
Per usual.
Sammy, thoughts?
I mean, this cast. This is very nostalgic heavy. I was just thrilled with the cast. I mean, it was great. That part just got me. That alone got me into this movie. But, I mean, I didn't mind so much that they were opposites. You know, I kind of liked seeing the jarring distinguished, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for this movie.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah, and I really liked especially the bathroom scene when it was so different, like, side by side. And then I saw this really great TikTok from, you know, someone our age, right, who was rewatching this. And she was like, okay, when you watch this movie, right, you see Jane, Ashley's character, so you see her... And the closet is very organized, and her bathroom is very organized. And she's like, you know, do you feel like, you know, you thought you were going to grow up and you were going to be just like Jane, but you realize you're really a Roxy? And I was just like, feel that in my core watching this. Yeah, I get it. I get the Roxy vibe much, much, much more than I do the Jane vibe. You know, I feel like growing up, I would have been like, yeah, you know, get into a great college and be like Jane and organize. But no, it's it's Roxy through and through.
I've never been organized.
I can't. I would like to. In my brain, I would like to be, you know.
Yeah,
I would
love to,
but I cannot. In my fantasy world, I am certainly not a procrastinator and very organized. And yeah. But that's not reality. No. I didn't skip school. I mean, I wasn't that level of Roxy.
No.
Absolutely not. But... Yeah. Otherwise,
we didn't
even
skip school on senior skip day.
I don't think I could because I think I'd miss so much school that it was gonna be like a thing. So I think that's why I got screwed up.
I just couldn't. My dad said no.
Well, that seems logical too.
My parents are like, nope.
You're going.
Yeah.
Too bad. I'm sorry. It is what it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like Roxy's whole vibe, you know, the style, going to see Simple Plan, all that, you know, I can dig all that. So she's definitely more of my wavelength with that, you know.
I mean, if you think about it in high school, Sammy, you were kind of a mix of both because you definitely had, like, the Roxy style of clothing, but you had the academic side of
Jane. Yeah, I would never, I would just be appalled to be in detentions and in trouble that much. So it's just... Not possible.
That was not your thing.
No. And I would not skip school to go see Simple Plan, but I would have thoroughly enjoyed going to see Simple Plan. So we'll say that. At least there's that.
I know.
You know, still would see Simple Plan, you know, realistically.
Oh, heck yeah.
Wait.
Aren't they?
They've already been to Epcot.
No, they've already.
I don't know who's coming when you're here.
Someone else is coming to Epcot while I'm here.
Okay. I went and saw Simple Plan like two years ago or something.
I'll have to look.
Yeah, I don't have the lineup memorized, but Simple Plan was just here. I know that. I believe.
Concerts.
Because they're always a big one at Epcot.
mm-hmm. big is coming while I'm there.
They have some good...
Like, for me.
Yeah, I mean, they do have some good for those concerts at Epcot. They have some good old people bands, because we're not old people, so...
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
Plain White Tees! Plain White Tees is going to be there!
Yeah, okay, so let me tell you about the Plain White Tees. So I am obsessed with Plain White Tees. I love them, especially because one of my favorite shows is Greek, and they were all over Greek. They're always the band.
They were all over Greek.
And Robbie... Robbie, I don't think he hates them, but he hates the Delilah song. Hey There, Delilah. He hates that song.
I love Hey There, Delilah.
He hates it with a passion. Like, if I try and play it, no. He's just instantly like, we're going to skip it. No, we were walking in to set up for Fanboy Expo, and they were playing music, and they played that. And it was great because he couldn't turn it off, and I was just singing it the whole time. And it was a long walk.
I would have been jamming.
It was great. But, yeah, so whenever I brought them up, he's just like, no. Like, I don't know how you can hate Plain White Tees.
I don't know.
I only know that one song. I don't know anything else by them.
They have a great album. They have a that whole great album. That whole album was great. Yes.
Yes. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so excited because we're going on Sunday. So we are not going to... We are not going to Hollywood Studios on Star Wars Day because it's just going to be, like,
it's going to be stupid.
Everything was already booked. Like, I couldn't get in our lightsabers or anything. So I'm like, it's going to be stupid busy, and I don't want to deal with it. So we're going to Epcot that day. And it's one of their nights that they're performing. Mm-hmm.
Lucky him.
We are watching from a distance.
Yeah.
I said he has no choice. 98 Degrees is going to be there the weekend before.
See, I'm telling you, it's all these all these old people bands now, because we are the old people.
Jodi Messina was there. Jodi Messina is like, she's old.
Yeah, there's still some like old ones in there, but yeah, there's plenty of millennial bands. Oh, Sugar Ray.
Mm-hmm. Kuba Stank is going to be at Busch Gardens. I know that.
Oh, nice. Oh, Robbie doesn't like them either. I don't know what to tell you.
What did you marry?
Of early 2000s.
These are things I found out later.
Of early 2000s rock, they were, like, in my opinion, one of the better ones. Like,
I had that album, not as popular,
but definitely under, like, they're kind of like a Three Doors Down, kind of.
Yes, I had that album, and I listened to it frequently on repeat.
Oh, yeah, gosh.
That's some good songs.
Don't Tell My Mom 38 Special was there.
Well, she missed it, right? So
she missed it. It was March.
Yeah.
That was, like, her band growing up.
Yeah.
That's from her decade.
Yeah, not us, but yeah, I get you.
I don't know some of these other ones. Flock of Seagulls, Taylor Dane.
You don't know Flock of Seagulls?
I don't know Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
I ran so far away.
Oh, that's them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think that's, like, maybe the only song I know.
I mean, same, but that's
how I'd probably be the only one. I'd be like, okay, I'm done. I heard it. We're good.
The Spinners, the Pointer Sisters.
Some of those are older.
Yeah, no, they're
Don Felder of the Eagles is going to be there. Dad would love that. Dad loves the Eagles.
Yep, see? There you go.
I remember, who sings Brick House? She's a brick.
How?
I don't remember who sings it. But they were there one year when we were at Disney, and Mom and Dad were, like, rocking out while we were at Epcot. And me and my brother are like, what is happening right now?
See, there's the problem. And this is my memory of it, right? Is the same thing, Ashley, where I'm just like, seriously? And now we're those people. When we go and all the kids are like, you guys are really? So old.
Yeah.
Jamming out to Simple Plan. Like,
yeah, we are.
I don't care. But now we're at that age where we don't care.
Stuck in my head.
Yeah, good job. Because it is ringing through my head now, too.
Like, runs in my head.
Oh, my God. Shoot.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, boy. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. We kind of stayed on track. Simple Plan.
Yeah, it's related. Yeah, to Simple.
It's relatable.
To Simple Plan. But, yeah, very happy to see them on the screen and see them at the concert and all that. Super unrealistic that she, Roxy, not only managed to just, like, wander up behind the stage.
But just then, to get in general.
Right? And then she hands them the CD, and they're like, oh, it's a great cover. We'll check this out. And I'm like, they're going to throw that in the trash, Roxy.
Oh, heck yeah.
There is zero chance they're going to listen to this. Bit unrealistic. But, you know, it's that movie trope that now you think, as a teenager, oh, yeah, I can make it because I'll just give my album to somebody related to the band, you know. And at the end, it worked out for her, right? So, sure.
I mean, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously. Because sure, they're going to end up in London together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But we did get a little more risque in this movie because, you know, we had them in the hotel room. Mm. Jared comes in taking off his shirt. I was like, oof. Okay. Like, all right, Olsen twins. Okay, then.
I wish it was rather Riley instead of Jared, but that's
I do like Jared a lot, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Not as Dean. He's kind of stupid.
No, but he's a jerk as Dean.
Yeah. He's okay at the beginning, and then he's kind of stupid. But
he cheats on his wife and steals Rory's virginity. Not at the same time.
First of all, okay. We're going to get off topic. Exactly. He didn't steal anything from that girl, okay? Rory was a very willing participant in this. And Dan, I'm sure, did you watch the Gilmore Girls? You big Gilmore Girls
off
fan?
Off and on. Yeah,
that was the big scandal when that happened. That Rory and Dean slept together and Dean was married.
He's married.
Yeah, that was,
Rory, you're worse than your mother. At least your mother was with her boyfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is really.
I didn't like Rory after that episode. I'm done with her.
This is the downward spiral. Yeah, this is my downward, like, Rory, are you freaking kidding me? Mm-hmm. Get your life together, girl. Like, what are you doing? Did not like that entire storyline. Very upset about it.
Yeah. Ugh. She does not deserve Jesse. Yeah.
Jess.
I know it.
Jess. Sorry. Jess.
Yeah. I know it didn't. I don't remember. I remember, like, they portrayed it as, like, it didn't really work out very well for her. Like, I don't know.
No.
No!
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, it wasn't glorified in any way.
No, they did at least, yeah. Lorelai was very much, like,
went into her.
Yes, yeah. It was a big thing. Like, she was not happy about this entire thing. And it caused a rift, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so many issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure did.
Ugh.
No wonder she ended up with Logan. I had to stop.
I do too. That's a problem.
Go ahead, Dan. Sorry.
No, I stopped watching the show, I think, about a year later just because I don't remember a whole lot going on. I just remember a lot of bickering in every episode. That's like all every episode was, is just people bickering and talking really fast. That was like the thing. And I'm like, this is stupid and it's not going anywhere. And everyone's just mad at each other and I'm bored with it.
I mean, I feel like there was, like, when Rory first got to college, I was kind of like, when we were rewatching and Robbie was really watching for the first time, I was like, you got to just push it through. I don't even care if I really see these episodes. You got to kind of make it through and then it'll get better again. But there's a period where I just was like done with the storylines and just over it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I couldn't stand Lorelai's parents. They were god awful.
No one could.
Well, you know.
The dad wasn't so bad, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them as parents, but I did like the characters. I guess I'll say that. They were. I really liked Emily. Emily in the reboot is
Emily does
great.
Get better.
Yeah, yes. In the reboot after her husband has died and everything, spoiler, but whatever, it's been out forever. She's pretty great because she's kind of over the whole life that she's been living. Mm-hmm. And she swears and it was fabulous because it was on Netflix and I was like, this is great. I just love this.
And Lorelai's like, what's happening?
I just love it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, Lorelai's my favorite character out of that. Like, I thought it was going to be Rory, and then she did that, and I'm like, nope,
it was
Lorelai.
It was Rory, temporarily.
Why would they? Like, it makes me mad that they even wrote that. Like, why? Why would you write that?
Like, character assassination right there.
Because to this day, we're still talking about it. That's what it is. Love it or hate it, you're going to remember it.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. We're still talking about it.
How did we get on Gilmore Girls?
Jared Padalecki. That's how. Taking off his shirt. And then we went to the sex scene, and then here we are. That's how we got there.
Jared Padalecki taking off his shirt.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, that was a little risque. You know, you got Ashley coming out in a towel, and
she loses her towel.
Yeah, it's like a whole, definitely more adult themes with this one. Even when he enters and they do that whole slow mo with Mary Kate in her hair, and I'm just like, wow, okay, all right then. You know, like the other The meet cute with Riley's character, I mean, that was adorable, right? She gets stuck on his bike. Yes. And I mean, she makes that comment about, I'll take my skirt off, and is like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. But it was still cute, right? But then Jared yeah. comes in, you're like, whoa, all right.
Okay. Like, okay. But that makes sense. Jane is more of the cutesy sister, and Roxy's mm-hmm. more of the sexy sister.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it is.
Because you know, rock and roll, sexy.
It fits. Yeah. It fits. With the whole bit.
You're correct. It does in fact fit. Yeah. As someone who's spent a lot of time in that world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Ready so to hear my thoughts.
What do you want to complain about? Go ahead.
I'm not going to complain. This is not critiques. Me complaining. This is just. Okay. This is just what my thoughts were as I was going through it. So I'm not going to lie. I was kind of confused at the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. I did watch some of it before I just went to listening, but I just didn't know where everything was going. It just, mm-hmm. maybe I needed to see the visual the whole time, but the concept of what was happening did not make sense to me until they were actually in New York and the hijinks started. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay, this is what's happening. Because I was just confused because they were fighting, they weren't friends. I'm like, it was so jarring to me. Then I'm like, what is happening in this movie? Mm-hmm. So finally when they got to the New York, like, okay, I started to get into the movie, so it took me a while to get it. But I really do see why it didn't work in theaters, because the problem, in my opinion, the problem was there was too much of their past stuff in there. But then also them trying to do new things with some of, like, the risque and the different, mm-hmm. like, I think that they tried to meld it and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Because... if you really wanted to, like, move out of what you were doing and into theatrical, you needed to completely remove yourself from the hijinks teen crap. Not, mm-hmm. it's not crap, but you know what I mean. Like, you needed yeah. to remove yourself. And they mm-hmm. still kept it with trying to add some other themes. And I'm like, this is why it didn't work. Mm. Because you can't give us half Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen and half not. Mm-hmm. You gotta either give us all or give us new.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy that.
Okay. As a hardcore Mary-Kate and Ashley fan, like, that's probably why it did not work well.
Gotcha.
Because I probably wouldn't have liked it if I saw it back in 2004. I probably mm-hmm. would have been disappointed in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you have the eye candy, which, honestly, this is the best eye candy they've ever had in any of their movies.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, best eye candy. Pete mm-hmm. and Avery came close. Like, Our Lips Are Sealed came close for me, but... When I saw who was in this one, I'm like, nope, Riley mm-hmm. and Jared win.
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I agree.
Because their eye candy has always been kind of like, oh, you're cute, but there's something missing. Mm-hmm. They've never been like, oh, cute, yeah. mm-hmm. is what you normally look for in a teen movie. Someone to drool over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time they had drool-worthy people.
I would agree, yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you can see in my notes, Riley Smith, massive heart eyes. How can you not? He's adorable.
Yes, I'll give you that. He is.
I just think of motocrossed. Him on a on a dirt bike.
Mm-hmm. Is that one of those archetype fantasies, a guy on a dirt bike?
Oh my Apparently gosh, so. Yes. For yeah. me, yes. Very much okay. so. My cousin was in motocross. And mm-hmm. I got to hang around some of his guy friends once because Dad realized what was happening. He's like, no, mm-hmm. of course. And I don't know what it is, but it's a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a thing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we all got our things.
Yeah.
It's just as valid.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of random little things. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Motocross is one of them.
No, yeah, yeah. No, I can see that being a thing.
Yeah, in high school though, it was a football uniform. I drooled mm-hmm. over oh, yeah. a football uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, which is odd. Muscle, I didn't date a footballer. I dated a hockey player.
True.
Muscle, you know, big burly dudes in spandex, touching each other and pummeling each other. And yeah, I could see that could be a thing. I don't enjoy it, but I mean, if you did,
that's great.
That's how I heard it described one time. So I had a friend who wasn't really into sports, but they had a game on one time, and she was like, all I see are just I just see men in spandex touching each other, and she seemed to be enjoying it. So
well, I'm glad she liked it though.
I mean, it's not much different than boys watching volleyball players in high school because of their spandex shorts.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not mm-hmm. wrong. That's you it's know, true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yep. It's got some equality. You have to have some equality there.
100%. Yeah, you have split. You have, you know, motocross and football, and the guys have volleyball.
Well, some girls like guys in basketball shorts for some weird reason.
I feel like
there's just nothing there unless they have a butt.
It's the mystery, you know. You lose stuff to the imagination.
There you go, the mystery.
Yeah.
What's under the shorts?
Mm-hmm. It's under the, oh gosh. Now we're getting a little risky for our our podcast.
Oh, let them grow up. We gotta grow up eventually.
Oh goodness. But yeah, for them to just, it makes sense why they decided to walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After this movie.
I feel like they just kind of exhausted the passion for it. Like, you could, I could kind of tell their hearts weren't real. Like, their hearts weren't in it as much as it could be.
Yeah, right.
But it wasn't like, gung-ho, we want to do this, we're all in, like it was when they were younger. It was just like, yes, we're doing this. It's a part of our, you know, how we came to where we are, we respect it, but we're kind of done with it, you know? The spirit of being done with it was kind of carried through this movie.
Yeah.
Well, and at this point, Mary-Kate's having issues. This is where, like, right after this is when Mary-Kate goes into whatever she goes into for whatever it was, because they say it's one thing, it could have been another thing, we don't know, but she had she had issues going on, and it was, like, right after this movie is when they put her, when they forced her in, and you can see it. Like, you can see it in her face that there is something going on, because it's very tight. It's very just... And, I mean, that's still how she is today, which is just weird. Like, it's almost, like, villainish creepy to me, to be honest. Sorry, Mary-Kate, but your face kind of looks like a villain when it's, like, angled like that.
That's mean!
I think she would play...
What if she heard that? What if she actually heard that? She'd be like, meh.
She actually heard that.
I mean, some people have faces that go good for villains in movies.
She's a very angled face. Very angled.
She has a very angled face, which we usually use for villains.
True.
I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that's what it reminds me of, because that's the archetype that we end up seeing in media. Even in books, that's how things are described.
Yeah.
The people who play villains in movies are actually very nice people.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Oddly enough, a lot of them have very strong faith. I hear a lot of, like, interviews from some of these guys who play villains because they don't want to have sex scenes or kiss scenes, and it's because of their faith. And like, I'm like, I did not see that coming.
Interesting.
You've not heard these interviews?
No.
No. The only one I'm familiar with is Tom Wilson. He's not, I don't think he's religious, but he played Biff on Back to the Future, and he's, like, the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that about him.
Hold on. He's in Walking Tall... his name. He's a very popular... Neil McDonnell. He plays Jay Hamilton in... he plays the bad guy in Walking Tall. What else has he done? He was in Captain America First Avenger. He was Timothy. One of the main characters in the FX show Justified.
I mean, I've heard of some of these things. I can't place, like, seeing.
Think if you saw his face, you'd know exactly who I'm talking about.
Probably.
He's one of them, and there's like two or three others that I've heard, like, that have said specifically, whether it's faith or just they don't want to do that to their wives, that they're a one woman. He says, he's like, I'm a one woman, my lips are a one woman man. Is what he said in his interview.
Cute.
So he plays villains.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Villains. He plays villains. Villains don't have sex ever.
Well, apparently not. Media, they don't. I mean, there's a lot of villains
That's why they're so angry. That's why they're so angry. They're not getting
angry. Yeah, it's all that pent up.
That's why they're villains.
Yeah.
Actors who... There's, like, a whole thing about, like, actors who won't do love scenes. Well, Kirk Cameron, but, he's something else.
Brother Kirk!
He's a little too much.
He brought his wife Chick-fil-A in one of the Christian movies when she was sick, because that's what you'd bring somebody when they're sick.
That's nice.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. It'll help you when you have a cold.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
Sometimes you're just craving stuff.
When you're sick, though? Chick-fil-A when you're sick? When I'm sick.
It depends on the type of sick.
I'm sick, I'm just like, soup. Just give me soup. That's it.
They do have chicken noodle soup. Maybe that's what he bought her.
Fair.
Oh, no. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally not a plug for the corporation that's owned by, you know, that's in...
Nope.
Where was it? In Nebraska, we called it Jesus Chicken.
That's valid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. BDQ's is better. Sure.
Penn Badgley is cutting back on his on-screen intimacies because he just got married.
Oh. Okay.
Kirk, we already said. I don't know her. I don't know. I saw a reel, and it was, like, actually them talking in interviews, so I'll have to find it at some point. But, anyways. I don't know how we got on that topic, either.
Who knows how we get on any topic?
I know. Anything else?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed at least some of our Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen episodes, if you were Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen fans. But if it's not your cup of tea and you're hoping we go someplace else, we are doing a 180. We are going from cutesy hijinks to just darkness, in a way. Wouldn't you agree? We're going dark.
Campy darkness.
Campy.
What is it?
Campy darkness.
Okay, campy darkness. No. And we are doing a whole summer of Joss Whedon creations. So starting off with Buffy and working our way through. So join us next week as we start that journey together.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I get to rewatch Buffy.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't just watch it last year.
Yeah, we just did too, so. Oh well.
All right, bye, Pixie Dusters.
Bye.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
Hey, I'm Robert with Limitless Broadcasting Network, and you might know me from shows like You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast, The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain, and more. I'm here to talk to you about my new show, premiering exclusively on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. It's called
Robbie Reviews.
It's a new movie review podcast show that lets you know exactly what movies you should see this summer, and which movies you should stay away from this summer. So if you are into movies just like I am, you're gonna love this podcast.
This ship cannot be crewed by two men. You'll never make it out of the bay.
Son, I'm Captain Jack Sparrow. Savvy?
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Smile on that face.
Why so I'm not gonna serious? Kill him. You know why I came and killed his son? You know why I came and put a bullet in Sean's head? Because Sean was disloyal. If you were anybody else, Tariq, you'd already be dead. The moment you let Tommy in the penthouse to kill me was the moment you were no longer my son, and now you're my enemy.
It's going to exclusively premiere on the Limitless Broadcasting Network. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.